UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Los Angeles Rams, who rallied late in the game to beat the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 in Super Bowl 56, the National Football League's annual title game. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Inglewood, California.
Cooper Kupp caught a one-yard touchdown pass from Matthew Stafford with a minute 25 remaining to give the Rams a thrilling 23-20 win over the Bengals in Super Bowl 56. Kupp had two scoring receptions on the day and was voted the game's MVP.
They're team awards. You aren't a successful receiver without all the other 10 guys on the field doing their job. Each of those guys that stepped on the field, just so incredibly thankful for them.
Stafford finished with three touchdown passes, and Aaron Donald led a Rams defense that sacked Joe Burrow a Super Bowl record-tying seven times. Mark Myers, Inglewood, California.
Thanks, Mark. Mark mentioned Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. We'll hear from Burrow now in this report from the AP's Jeremy K. Gover.
The Cincinnati Bengals started the second half on fire, but it wasn't enough as they lose Super Bowl 56 to the Los Angeles Rams 23-20. The AFC champions went into the locker room down 13-10, but opened the second half by scoring 10 points in 22 seconds. Quarterback Joe Burrow went 22 of 33 for 263 yards and a touchdown. He was sacked seven times, however, tying a Super Bowl record. Burrow says when they got the ball back with 1:25 left in regulation, down by three, there was nothing but belief on his sideline.
When we hit that first play, I thought we were going to go down and at least get a field goal to tie the game and send it into overtime. You got to give credit to them. They played their tails off for those four plays and stopped us on third and one and fourth and one. So credit to them.
The Bengals have now been to three Super Bowls in their 54-year franchise history, losing all three. Jeremy Kegover, Inglewood, California.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again with a report on Chelsea Football Club lifting the FIFA Club World Cup trophy over the weekend. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Belgian self-Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku's towering header and Kai Havertz late penalty was enough to ensure Chelsea beat Brazil's Palmeiras 2-1 to win the FIFA Club World Cup for the first time. The Club World Cup was the final piece of silverware missing in Chelsea's trophy cabinet under the ownership of Russian billionaire Roman Abramovich. The Blues joined an elite group of European clubs who have won every major trophy in existence, including Juventus, Ajax, Manchester United and Bayern Munich. Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel praised his squad.
I have to say, I think we never stopped attacking, we never stopped trying throughout the 90 minutes before overtime. We changed the structure again to have a different structure to attack and to defend counterattacks. And I have to say the team did very, very well in extra time to control the match completely. And the guys from the bench had a huge impact. And of course, if you have a late penalty, you're also lucky, of course. But I think we deserved because we did not allow a lot of chances and we never stopped trying and we never stopped being active and doing the most for the game. So we take it like it is. This is a final tough opponent and fantastic victory, of course.
There's Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel after the Blues defeated Brazilian side Palmeiras in extra time in the Club World Cup final. Moving on to the English Premier League, Shea Adams' girl cancelled out English winger Jadon Sancho's opener as Manchester United dropped more points when they were held to a 1-1 draw by Southampton at Old Trafford. The Red Devils are now fifth in the Premier League table, only a point ahead of Arsenal, who have two games in hand. United's manager Ralf Rangnick shared his thoughts on the match.
I think we had the better chances, the clearer chances to win the game. But in the end, right now we are struggling to keep our composure, the structure, for more than just half an hour or the first half.
That was Manchester United's manager Ralf Rangnick reflecting on more drop points for his team and a disappointing draw against Southampton in the Premier League. Liverpool cruised past Burnley by a goal to nil at Turf Moor thanks to a first-half goal by Brazilian midfielder Fabinho. The Reds are now 9 points behind leaders Manchester City, while Burnley remains bottom of the table, 7 points from safety. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp was pleased with his side's performance.
Over the moon, to be honest. It's such a difficult day here. We stand here. Everybody who was here felt it. Ball in the air. Nobody knows where it comes down. But we played the circumstances today and didn't suffer from it. Scoring from a set piece, outstanding, love it. Played good stuff around it, but it was difficult to be precise. That's how it is. And when you have the ball, most of the time you have to be precise. If you don't have the ball that often, you are happy about the circumstances, because then you kick the ball up front and different things can happen.
Club side will turn their attention to the Champions League when they visit the San Siro to face Italian champions Inter Milan in the first leg of their last 16 showdown. Leaders Manchester City extended their unbeaten run to 15 matches after earning a convincing 4-0 win against relegation-threatened Norwich City, thanks to an English striker of Jamaican descent Raheem Sterling's hat-trick and Phil Foden's finish. The Citizens lead the standings at 63 points. City coach Pep Guardiola shared his thoughts on the match.
Yeah, in general, we had a good performance as a team. Like, we arrived here with a good best moment from Norwich this season in terms of results and the play and the confidence. And that's why it was so important to these guys, you know, we play all these years incredible, seriously. And today they prove it again.
That was Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola praising his team's magnificent display against Norwich City in the Premier League. Raul Jimenez and Leander Dendonca recorded their names on the score sheet to help Wolves cruise to a 2-0 win victory against Tottenham Hotspur. Spurs manager Antonio Conte expressed his disappointment with his team's performance.
To describe this defeat is very difficult. I think at the end it was one of the best games that we played. We had many chances to score and with the possession, but for sure, and it's very difficult also to explain the way that we have started, and we conceded 2 goals, and that's it. I think the 2 goals was very difficult. No, it's very difficult to comment the 2 goals that we conceded. I said after the game against Southampton that this is part of the process, but we had to know very well that, not easy when you start the game in this way.
The Spurs manager Antonio Conte's reaction after his team's loss against Wolves in the Premier League. Moving on to the French league, French South Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored late into the game as PSG beat Rennes at home by a goal to nil. The Parisians, who host Real Madrid in the Champions League on Tuesday, are now 16 points ahead of second-place Marseille, who earned a 2-1 win against struggling Metz thanks to goals from Arkadiusz Milik and French forward of DR Congolese descent Cedric Bakambu. Goals from French forward of Malian descent Moussa Dembele and Cameroonian footballer Karl Toko Ekambi ensured Olympique Lyon beat Nice 2-0, a win which allowed them to jump 3 places to 7th in the standings. AS Monaco could only manage a 0-0 draw against relegation-threatened Lorient, while reigning French champions Lille beat Montpellier 1-0 to move to within touching distance of the top 4 in the French league. And finally, in La Liga, Real Madrid were held to a goalless draw against Villarreal, a result which allowed second-place Sevilla to clip 2 points off Madrid's lead after securing a 2-0 win at home to Elche thanks to second-half goals from Papu Gomez and Rafa Mir. A last-minute goal from substitute Mario Hermoso gave Atletico Madrid a victory as they beat Getafe 4-3 at home. Older striker Luke de Jong headed an equalizer deep in stoppage time to rescue Barcelona 2-1 draw at derby rivals Espanyol. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Prince mentioned Lyon man Carl Toko Ekambi in his report. Toko Ekambi tallied 5 goals at the recent Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. That made him the tournament's second highest scorer, behind only Cameroonian teammate Vincent Abubakar, who had 8 goals.
Sporting greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just ahead, Samson Omale looks at weekend action in the Confederation of African Football's Champions League competition.
The Confederation of African Football Champions League returned for the 58th edition this past weekend as the 2021-2022 season got underway with 7 match day one fixtures. 4-time winners Esperance du Tunis of Tunisia recorded the biggest win of the day as they thrashed competition debutants Jaweng Galaxy of Botswana 4-0 at the Raids Olympic Stadium on Saturday. Algeria's ES Setif picked up the only away win on match day one as they saw Horia Athletic Club by lone goal at the General Lansana Conte Stadium in Guinea on Saturday. In Group B's other match, Raja Casablanca edged South Africa's AmaZulu courtesy of a Mushien Mutuali effort in the 67th minute to finish the game at 1-0. Egyptian side Zamalek played an entertaining 2-2 draw at home to Angola's Petro de Luanda, the Cairo International Stadium on Saturday, while South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns also got off to a fine start in Group A by defeating Al Hilal of Sudan 1-0 at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium, while Group C's North African derby between Tunisia's Etoile du Sahel and Algerian side CR Belouizdad ended in a goalless stalemate. Friday's action featured an impressive opening to Group D proceedings for Wydad Casablanca, who crushed Angola's Sagrada Esperanca 3-0. Defending champions Al Ahly, who are away for the Club World Cup, had their fixture against Al Merrikh postponed till Saturday, March the 5th. Match day 2 fixtures will be played on Friday the 18th and Saturday the 19th of February. Away from football now, Nigerian-born New Zealand mixed martial artist Israel Adesanya defeated Robert Whittaker by unanimous decision to retain his title and maintain control of the middleweight division at the UFC 271 on Sunday. Adesanya won his 11th straight middleweight fight in the UFC and remained undefeated. The judges scored it 48-47, 48-47, 49-46 in favor of Adesanya, who has won all 4 of his title defenses, 3 by unanimous decision and 1 by knockout.
We're just two guys trying to be the best in the world, but tonight I'm the best in the world. I wasn't really looking past Robert. I took him very seriously, and yeah, right all the way to the last bell, I knew he was dangerous. He caught me slipping one time, and I was like, good one. But yeah, I look forward to fresh meat.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, at VOA Sunny Sports. Nigeria will represent Africa at the 2022 FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup Tournament, which is scheduled from September 22nd to October 1st in Australia. The Nigerian ladies also qualified for the 2018 Women's Basketball World Cup in Spain, where they finished 8th overall out of 16 teams. For this year's competition in Australia, 12 teams will compete, including the United States, which has lifted the trophy at the past three tournaments and won 10 world titles total. The Nigerian women, nicknamed the Tigress, qualified in Serbia, where they beat Mali and France and lost to China. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Colonel Sam Amadu, retired.
Congratulations to the Tigers. Congratulations to Nigerians. Yes, with the qualification for the World Cup, it is pertinent to make it, let people know that it has not come easy. From 2017, this team was built and it has been consistent. 2017, they won AfroBasket in Mali. Thereafter, went to the World Cup in Spain in 2018, beat Turkey, beat Greece, beat Argentina, and did very well. Won AfroBasket 2019 in Senegal without losing a match. Beat then won AfroBasket 2021 just after playing in the Olympic Games, where they held their own. So the team has been consistent, though it arrived late at the venue of this competition without much training. It is good. As we congratulate the team, we should remember those people that actually built this team, the current board of the NBBF, whose president has just been re-elected. And we hope that a proper plan will be put in place that will put the girls in better position to do very well at the World Cup in Sydney in September / October. One thing I know is that Nigeria is no longer a pushover. Every country will open eyes to play Nigeria and they will play us tough. So we have a lot of work to do. However, for the meantime, we will celebrate, try to fix any issue that we have regarding our basketball, and we move forward from there.
Do you think Nigeria's women national basketball team can compete against top teams like USA, Australia, Germany, and Spain in the FIBA Women's World Cup?
Of course, Nigeria's women national team can compete against top teams like USA, Australia, Germany, and Spain in the World Cup. You will recollect that in the 2018 edition of the World Cup, our women national team beat Greece. We also beat Turkey. We also beat Argentina, China, who are ranked alongside the countries that you have mentioned. I need to remind you that in preparation for the Olympics, the same Nigerian national team beat Belgium, beat Serbia, who went on to and Serbia went on to win the European Championship. In 2018, also Nigeria was at par with US in the first half of the World Cup quarter final game. At the Olympics, US, we are leading Nigeria by 28 points, but the Nigerian team cut the lead to 9. The game ended with Nigeria losing by 9 points. So every team is almost at par. Our guests can hold their own. Everything depends on how they play on a particular day. You can see now that we beat France after trailing with about 20 points. That shows you the dexterity of the team, and so hopefully they will keep up that standard.
Do you also know if there are more Nigerian women basketball players abroad and at home capable of making the national team?
Yes, there are lots of Nigerian women players that can make the national team. I can reel on and all. Thank God I am among the scouts that scout players for our national team. Right now, even in Serbia, there are lots of our players that are not there. We have players like Upe Atusu, that is a sure bet to make the team. We also have players like Elizabeth Balogun at Duke University, Erica Ogumike, Ogumbowale, and lots of other players. So Nigeria, we have not even scratched the surface of the type of the players that we have that can make this team and play for Nigeria. Even at home, there are also players that can also hold their own.
That's Colonel Sam Amaidu, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Colonel Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
This is Colonel Sam Amaidu, retired president FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Sunday, the Boston Celtics clipped the wings of the visiting Atlanta Hawks 105-95. It was the eighth consecutive victory for the Celtics. Jason Tatum led Boston with a game-high 38 points.
We're just cooking. Obviously, you know, this game and last game, we felt like we gave up too many points, and then you know, second half, we buckled down a little bit, made some adjustments, and I think we just locked in more in the second half, and it really showed.
The box score in Boston's victory also showed 17 points and 9 rebounds from guard Jaylen Brown.
We just was a little bit more aggressive, got some stops. We came out, wanted to start off the second half well. We didn't really start the game off well, so we wanted to start the second half off well, and we defensively got some stops, was able to get out and run.
It was the 33rd victory of the season for Jaylen Brown and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics have 25 losses. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Hawks dropped their record to 26 victories and 30 defeats. Guard Trae Young had 30 points and 10 assists for the Hawks.
They made plays, and We couldn't get a stop, and we just needed to get a stop to stop their run. They scored 40 points in that third quarter. We did a really good job on defensive end the whole night, and besides that third quarter, and kind of got away from us.
Trae Young will be starting for the Eastern Conference All-Stars in the NBA's annual All-Star game, which will be played February 20th in Cleveland, Ohio. The starting five for the Eastern Conference also includes DeMar DeRozan of the Chicago Bulls, Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers, Kevin Durant of the Brooklyn Nets, and Giannis Antetokounmpo of the reigning NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. Taking a look at the starting five for the Western Conference All-Stars, guard Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors will be joined in the backcourt by Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies. The front court has center Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, superstar LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers, and Andrew Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder, And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Jamaica's two-man Olympic bobsled team is getting ready to race at the Winter Games in Beijing, China. VOA's Gwen Uten reports the two men had a novel way of training during the coronavirus pandemic.
The challenge of training without any snow is no problem for Jamaican bobsledding team members Shanwayne Stevens and Nimoy Turgot. But throw in gym closures during an enforced COVID-19 lockdown, and it's time to get creative. Reuters News caught up with the duo in the UK, where the two men have been pushing a Mini Cooper through the streets of Peterborough, England, on the road towards Olympic qualification.
We had to come up with our own ways of sort of replicating the sort of pushing that we need to do. So that's why we thought, well, why not we just go out and push the car and do some like reps, just pushing the car backwards and forwards.
And the two athletes say they often receive help from concerned Peterborough residents who fear they're experiencing a little car trouble.
Very funny. Very.
Yeah, we did get some funny looks. We've had people run over thinking the car broke down and trying to help us bump start the car and that and stuff. It's been quite funny, actually.
Yeah, and then like when we tell them that we're a Jamaica boxer team, their reaction is totally different and they're very excited for us.
Excitement surrounding the spectacle of Jamaican bobsledders began in 1988 when a four-man team competed against the odds at the Calgary Winter Olympics that year. Two of the men finished in 30th place at the Games, but all four were immortalized as subjects of the 1993 film Cool Runnings. Stevens and Turgot hoped to carry on their legacy at the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics in 2018, but missed out on qualifying by one spot. They now have their sights on Beijing in 2022 with the aim to outperform the bobsled team that inspired them.
So success for anybody would just be to win a medal, but just to go and perform at a high standard and do the best that we can, I think we can't ask for any more than that, really.
Well, and for me, because those guys set a legacy and a movie come out of it, for me personally, I want to surpass that level. I want to surpass that level and even go beyond that.
In the lead up to the Beijing Olympics, the two men are pushing cars around town with perfectly synchronized running tempos. And they admit they're anxious to get back on the icy track for the real thing.
At the minute, we're sort of getting itchy fingers. Well, I'm getting itchy fingers because I use them to drive. But I'm getting itchy fingers. He's getting itchy feet because he wants to push me off the hill as fast as he can.
Yeah, definitely. And we are motivated, very, very much motivated, because the last Olympics, we missed it by one slot. And now we are using that experience as our motivation moving forward.
And Sonny, Stevens and Turgot say the movie Cool Runnings inspired them to never give up on their dream. And they have proven that dreams can indeed come true as they make their Olympic debut in Beijing. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And with Super Bowl 56 making headlines here in the USA, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to a man who played in four consecutive Super Bowls, Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly, who is celebrating his 62nd birthday on this Monday. In Kelly's Wikipedia entry, it reads, and I quote, "Kelly helped lead the Buffalo Bills to four consecutive Super Bowl appearances. Sadly, the Bills are the only franchise to reach the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and lose the Super Bowl 4 years in a row." Jim Kelly was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and his career passing statistics are certainly worthy of inclusion in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Kelly had more than 35,000 career passing yards and 237 touchdown passes. Jim Kelly and his wife, Jill, also founded Hunter's Day of Hope, which is held on February 14th, the birthdays of both Jim Kelly and his late son, Hunter, who died in 2005 at the age of 8 of Crab's disease. Jim Kelly has spent much of his post-football life honoring his son and advocating on behalf of Crab patients,
helping increase awareness of the disease. Happy 62nd birthday, Jim Kelly. And that wraps up the February 14th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.